Jesus tells a story to his disciples and to those around him about people who wither and die spiritually. And Jesus says the problem is that these people have never taken root in good, healthy soil. I think that's why churches wither and die spiritually as well. Whether a church is big with lots of people or small, it can wither spiritually when it's not planted in rich, deep soil. And I think you can often tell what kind of soil a church is planted in by how a church treats the Bible and how they treat their sermons. Sometimes shallow soil is a church that sees the Bible as passé or irrelevant and antiquated, and sees the sermon as a time that makes me feel good about myself, or a time for entertainment, or at least a sermon that's short enough not to put me asleep. But the sermon and the readings are meant to plant us in the story of God, to help us to listen to God and to encounter God's reality and see reality through God's eyes. It's a time to be transformed by listening to the Word of God. In the sermon and the readings, we learn the story of God, and we're invited to join in that story ourselves. The readings and good preaching plants us in fertile soil as a church and as individuals, and it allows us to thrive as a community. Now, I think the story of Ezra that Erica read earlier is a picture of good preaching and worship. And I think if we look at that story of Ezra in Nehemiah chapter 8, I think it shows us four qualities of good preaching. It helps us to see what preaching is all about. So we're going to look at those four qualities pretty briefly, and then we're going to talk about the sermon and the readings in our own context of worship as we continue to ask, what are these things that we do during our worship services on Sunday morning? The first thing I think we see in Nehemiah 8, in the story of Ezra, is that the source of good preaching is God's Word. The source of good preaching is God's Word. It says in verse 1, all the people gathered together in the square before the water gate, which was one of the gates of the temple. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. The attraction here in this scene is not Ezra, not his speaking ability. The attraction is God's Word. And it's that that moves people to worship. It says he read the Word, and then Ezra blessed the Lord, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. They're responding to God's Word, which is the source of good preaching. God is a speaking God. That's from the beginning of the Bible story to the end. God speaks to us. And that's important. We can't understand God on our own. God is so big and so vast that our minds could not understand Him fully. And so we need God to speak to us, to show Himself to us. And because He loves us, He does that. He lets us know Him and learn about Him through His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. The word in the text that we read is inspired, but literally it means breathed by God. It's God speaking to us, telling us who He is. And it says all of Scripture is useful to that end. In the UCC, there's a campaign called the Still Speaking Campaign that says God is still speaking. And people mean a lot of different things when they say God is still speaking, and so you might want to ask them what they mean when they say it. But when I say God is still speaking, what I mean is this, that God continues to speak to us through His story. This is not a dead book of just words on a page. As we engage this with faith, the Spirit brings it alive and speaks to us through it and helps us to know and learn who God is and what He's done through this story, through this Word. So the source of good preaching is God's Word. Second, I think we see the environment of good preaching, and that would be an eager community. It says in verse 3, he read from the Scriptures facing the square from early morning until midday. That's a long time, just reading from the Scriptures. In the presence of men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The environment of good preaching is an eager community. And again, they're not eager to hear Ezra. Ezra is not a celebrity. They're eager to hear the Word of God. They see this word that Ezra is reading as an opportunity to listen to the God who created this world and who called them to be a people. This is not a people who have Bibles on every shelf like we might be able to afford. These are people who are starved for this word and who don't see the Bible as just a list of rules that, okay, we have to hear it. They're eager to listen to what God has to say to them. They're eager to learn what the life that God calls them to. And that's where the Word of God really takes root, when there's an eager community who is eager to hear from God and what God has to say. Third, I think we see the purpose of good preaching. The purpose of good preaching is to clarify and to apply God's Word. It's as simple as that. There's always a gap between us and the Scriptures. For us, it's maybe a 2,000, 2,500-year gap between when it was written and now. And for these people, there was a gap too. They just spent years in exile. And they're actually speaking a different form of the language than the Scriptures as they were written. And so they need the priests, and they need Ezra to help them to understand it. And that's what they do. In verse 8, it says, "So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading." They're just not just making this up. They're helping the people to understand what's really there, what God has truly said. And that is the purpose of preaching, to bridge that gap, to help you see what are some of the cultural differences, to help us see what some of the words meant in the original language so that we can have that gap bridged and so we can understand this word as it was spoken in that day. And then to apply the word. The people guide the community in understanding what has been read. When the people are ready to weep because they see this word and they see how far they've come from it, the people say, "No, this is a time of rejoicing." And when they want to respond, the leaders say, "Here's how we can respond and celebrate this festival together." The purpose of good preaching is very simple: to clarify God's word and to help us to apply it in our own context. Fourth, I think we see the result of good preaching. And the result of good preaching is transformation, or a response to God's word. We see how the people are moved by the word. They respond emotionally. It says, "The priest said to them, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And then in verse 12, it says, "All the people went their way with great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them." The people respond emotionally. In Acts 2, Peter, one of the disciples, gives one of the first Christian sermons, and it says the people were cut to the heart. When there is good preaching from the Word of God in an eager community, and the Word is clarified, it cuts to our hearts and hits us on a deep level. And then the people here respond in action as well. It says they're reading this in verse 13. It says they came together in order to study the words of the law, and they found it written in the law, which the Lord had given Moses, that the people of Israel should live in booths during the festival of the seventh month. It says these people realized after reading the word that God had given them this festival to celebrate, and this festival was to help them to remember what God had done when he brought them out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And they say, "Wow, this is what God is speaking to us. Let's celebrate this festival." They respond to God's word. In 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be equipped for every good work. It's not just to know the Bible. It's so that we can be equipped to do what God has created us to do. It's a powerful thing when we encounter the Word of God. It can transform us. That doesn't mean we have tears every week. We go into weeping or go home rejoicing every week. But hopefully, as we encounter this Word on a regular basis, our lives are beginning to look more and more like Jesus. We are starting to be more and more able to do the good work he's given to us. One last thing we notice here is that it says, "Day by day, from the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law. They kept the festival." And it says they came day by day to study the word together. This preaching moment wasn't the only time they heard the word of God. If the purpose of preaching is to help us to be transformed and to respond, then preaching helps us to moves us to study more, to go into the Word more and more on a regular basis. I hope on Sunday morning, the sermon is not the only interaction you have with God's Word throughout the week. Because it's when we interact with it on a regular basis that it can truly transform us and help us to respond. The purpose or the result of good preaching is transformation or response. So I was thinking this week about how then do we talk about the sermon or the readings in our context and what we do. And the thought occurred to me, you know, how would I know if we're not having good preaching here? What would be some of the signs of that? And so I thought we'd finish the phrase, I know something's gone wrong if. All right? So bear with me here. I have five things. They're listed in your bulletin, incidentally. I know something's gone wrong in preaching and readings if you are more impressed by the preacher than by God. You're more impressed by the preacher than by God's love and justice and grace and wisdom and truth. Illustration for you. This past fall, we got new windows in our house. The old ones were gross. They were just disgusting. You could, you almost had your hands chopped off if you tried to open them. And you couldn't really see through them. They were old and nasty and dirty. So we got new windows. And for a few days, we enjoyed the new windows and thought, wow, these windows are really beautiful. But pretty soon, we started saying, wow, look at our yard. You can actually see it. We started looking through the windows because that's the purpose of the window. Not to just have you enjoy the window, but to have you enjoy the scene on the other side of the window. Imagine having this great lakefront view, and you spend the whole time just looking, oh, what a beautiful pane, and look at the glass, how clear. And no, you look to the other side of it. And that's what preaching is all about. The preacher is just a window that helps you, hopefully, as I clarify the Word of God, helps you see this God. Who I'm talking about, who we're seeing in the Word. The preacher is just like a window to see through to the other side. There is a huge difference between someone having good speaking or motivational skills and someone being a good preacher. There's a huge difference. I think the best example for this is Hitler, the leader of the Nazi Party in Germany, was an amazing speaker. He was motivational. He had phenomenal speaking skills, but he was not fulfilling the tasks of preaching that we're talking about. There are many spiritual teachers out there who are wonderful speakers, have many gifts in speaking, but that does not mean it is good preaching. Good preaching impresses us with God's love and justice and truth and wisdom. I learned this from a pastor that we had back in Chicago. His name was Lee. We called him Pastor Lee. And as we started going to this church, and I started noticing that when we left church on Sunday morning, left the worship service, I was impressed by the Word. I would say, wow, that was a beautiful message that the Bible had for us this morning. Wow, that is a challenging message that God had for us this morning. And only after I wrestled with that and appreciated that could I think, oh, wow, Pastor Lee must have given a good sermon. It was only secondary that he was a great preacher. It was first that we were encountering the Word of God and being impressed by the God who is speaking this message and not by the preacher. I say, I hope in all humility that I know that I have speaking gifts. I know that God has given me gifts of being able to speak well. And I know that I could probably have a long career going to different churches and impressing people with my speaking ability, and people would say, wow, that's a good speaker. And I could do that, and I would be an utter failure for the kingdom of God. Because God has given me these gifts not to impress anyone with myself, but to impress you with Him, so that you see the love and beauty and joy and grace of God and are called into that story. I know something's gone wrong if you are more impressed by the preacher than by God. Second, I know something's gone wrong if I hear good sermon more than I see changed lives. Oftentimes when we say a sermon is good, usually we're using the same standards that we would use to evaluate entertainment. I was entertained. The sermon is not a performance. It is an instrument. And the purpose and the result of a good sermon is changed lives. Is changed lives. And so I think, I'm not even sure if you can tell if it was a good sermon or not until farther down the line. Until we actually can look at our lives, maybe a couple years, a year or 2 years, we can look and say, wow, look at the places we've come as a community. Look at the ways I've come in my walk with Jesus. I've come a long way in a couple years. And then maybe we can say good preaching was a part of that. But good preaching is only seen when people's lives are changed. So if you want to say good sermon, that's fine. But be ready for me to ask you why. Why was it a good sermon? What were the ways you heard God speaking to you? And what are the ways He's calling you to respond and be transformed by His Word? I know something's gone wrong if you remember a joke or an illustration or a story I told, but not the point. I remember one of my first sermons I gave. It was on a passage from John the Baptist speaking. And if you know John the Baptist, he's an extreme dude. And I remember studying, I was studying this passage throughout the week, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this is challenging stuff. This is like mind-blowing, transforming stuff. And I was challenged by it. I was like, I don't even know how to respond to this. This is so powerful. And I wanted to create a sermon that helped people to experience the power of what John the Baptist was saying and the challenge of what he was saying. So I gave this sermon. And at some point in the sermon, I had some illustration that had something to do with ice cream. And on the way out, as I was shaking people's hands, all I heard was everyone's favorite flavor of ice cream. And that was just a little disheartening for me, because I thought, maybe I have gotten in the way of this. Maybe I have gotten in the way of this message that God was giving us this morning. Illustrations, jokes, stories are tools that help us to engage with the Word, that help us to see God more vividly through the Scriptures, that help us to have examples for how to live. And so if you remember a story or a joke or an illustration, that's fine. They're meant to help us to remember things. But hopefully you remember the point and not just the joke or what have you that I said. Part of that is being that eager community. What do you expect when you come and listen to a sermon? Are you listening to hear God's word, or are you listening for something to entertain you? That's part of the mutual responsibility of a sermon. So I'll know something's gone wrong if you remember a joke, illustration, or story, but not the point. I know something's gone wrong if, now listen to me, I'll know something's gone wrong if no one ever gets upset with something I've said. I've heard a quote that's, I think, well applied to preaching. Someone said, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. In other words, if you come here on Sunday morning and you feel afflicted and guilty and struggling and frustrated, I hope you hear a message of hope. I hope you hear a message of joy and of love and of grace that God has for you. But if you come here on Sunday morning and you think, oh, I've got it all figured out, I'm good to go, I've got it, I'm okay, then I hope you leave on Sunday morning and you feel a little afflicted, a little disturbed, a little challenged by what God has to say to you. If this is God's word, and I think it is, if this is God's word, it should challenge us. It should flip us on our heads and have us feel disoriented at times. And that's not always a comfortable thing. We often pay lip service in our culture to this idea that, oh, no one's perfect. But heaven forbid someone should point it out. And that's what the sermon is sometimes meant to do, is to show us some of the ways we're falling short so that God can change us and so that God can transform us into something better. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3. I hope you listen very closely to this. 2 Timothy 4. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Literally, whether it's in season or out of season. There are times when the Word of God is not the most popular thing you could say and is not the favorite thing that you really want to hear. Then in verse 3 he says, for the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And by sound doctrine, I think what he means is the reality, the truths and the realities that are expressed in the Scriptures. There will be a time when people will not put up with that, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. And I think that is a powerful illustration that we have these itching ears. We have these things that we want people to say to us, things we want to hear. And in our culture, we live in a consumer society where we can go in 1,000 places. We can go on blogs, on the radio, on television, to different churches, to all kinds of places. And eventually we will find someone who tells us exactly what we want to hear. We want people to keep scratching our itching ears instead of just taking some of that maybe distasteful medicine that will cure the rash. We have these itching ears, and sometimes we just need to hear something besides what we want to hear. The point of preaching is not to say what's popular, but to pass on God's view of what reality is, who God is, not who we think we might want God to be in the immediate, but who God actually is, who we really are, what God has really done, and who we can actually become if the Spirit is working and transforming us. There is hope in this message. There is joy in this message. There is peace and love in this message. But oftentimes we can only really appreciate it if we go through the disorientation. If we let the truth hurt sometimes, that's when we get to the deepest hope and joy and peace. There is a resurrection in this story, but only after we go through the cross. Only after we go through the cross. So, it's okay if you're upset with something I've said after a sermon. That is okay. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. A sermon is just a part of a conversation, is just a part of a relationship or a journey that we're taking together. And if you're upset, it's possible that I said something that was wrong, and so let's talk about that. It's also possible that it might be the truth that hurts sometimes. Let's talk about where that message of hope is for you in that. So if you're upset, let's talk some more about it. But I'll know something's gone wrong if you're never upset by something I've said. Finally, I know something's gone wrong if Jesus hasn't been mentioned. You'll know something's gone wrong if Jesus hasn't been mentioned in a sermon. In Luke 24, it says Jesus opens up the scriptures for his disciples after his resurrection and shows them how all of it points to him. But even the Old Testament, the scriptures, the Old Testament is what Jesus would have opened up for his disciples. And he opens it up and says, this is all about me. Every bit of the Old Testament is anticipating Jesus. We get glimpses of Jesus throughout the Old Testament in characters like Adam and Abraham and David and Moses, in characters like Melchizedek, who you may not even have heard of. There is a glimpse of Jesus. There is a glimpse of Jesus in the temple and in the priests and in the nation of Israel. The whole thing is pointing to Jesus. And of course, the New Testament is all about that as well. It is Jesus' death that allows us to enter into this relationship with God and receive his forgiveness. It is Jesus' resurrection that is our reason for hope and the source of our strength if we are going to live this life. Preaching easily becomes about what you can do, or about what I can do, or about what I'm telling you you should do. And there's plenty of stuff for us to do. There's plenty of things that God has given us and graciously allows us to share in doing, but only after we know who God is. Only after we come to Jesus and see his grace and his love and his humility and his power. And only after we recognize what God has done for us, then we can start living the life that he's called us to. So you'll know something's gone wrong if Jesus hasn't been mentioned. I do a lot to prepare for sermons. I spend time planning series. I spend time studying. Sometimes I spend time translating the Hebrew or the Greek, whatever the case may be. Time interpreting and reading, making an outline, practicing a sermon. But the most important thing I do, and sometimes I think I don't do it enough, is to pray in preparation. So I thought I'd close by sharing with you just a couple prayers that I pray on a weekly basis as I prepare the sermon. The first one is a prayer that comes right from Paul and his letters. I pray, help me to speak your word boldly and clearly as I should. Help me to speak your word, God. Not mine, not my ideas, not my visions. Your word. Boldly. Regardless of whether it's popular or not. And clearly, not entertainingly, clearly, as I should. I enjoy preaching, but this is also a responsibility. God hasn't given me a few minutes on Sunday morning. He hasn't given me this pulpit or this position as pastor so I can tell you what I think. He's given me this task to proclaim to you who God is and what He's done. Then I pray. I pray to God that He would protect you from anything I say that is not from God. And then I pray, may your Spirit transform people's hearts. Because a sermon is not, transformation is not something that I can do. It's something that God can do. And so I pray that even during the week, that He would be preparing your hearts, that He would be rooting you in that word throughout your week, that He would prepare your hearts on Sunday morning, and that He would encounter you, not me encounter you, but that He would somehow use me as a channel for what He is speaking to your heart and to your life and to this community. Those are my prayers for us and for our for the sermon and for the readings on a Sunday morning. And I hope that as this happens, we are planted in good soil so that we can truly thrive. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how much You love us, that You would show Yourself to us, teach us about You, and tell us all the things You've done to show that love for us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to come to Your word during the week and on Sunday morning. Come to it with eager hearts, ready to hear from You, and ready to really take into our lives what You're saying. I pray that Your Spirit would transform us, that You would change us into becoming more like Jesus, so that we could shine Your light to the world around us. Amen.